Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You may have forgotten this, but the Dodgers are actually the defending champions in Major League Baseball. A shortened season, a COVID season, 2020, though they did snap a drought that stretched all the way back to 1988. And clearly they're not ready to give up the throne. Man, it was a day full of hard-hitting news from the world of baseball. And to that end, we are pleased to welcome longtime baseball insider Scott Miller, who's also keeping up with the New York Times and is contributing to their baseball coverage in 2021. All right, Scott, I'm going to ask you the same question I have been asking myself all day long. What the heck is happening in baseball right now? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, some good stuff all day and in these last 24 hours before the trade deadline, huh, Amy? I mean, geez, you know, Max Scherzer, 1 minute he looks headed to the Padres, and then obviously that was premature. And, you know, then the Nationals end up sending him and shortstop Trey Turner to the Los Angeles Dodgers, a huge blockbuster deal. And the Yankees, of course, getting Joey Gallo from the Rangers and Anthony Rizzo from the Cubs, and on and on and on it goes. It's been crazy, and you know, we have until 4 o'clock Eastern on Friday before it's over.
How did the Dodgers come in underneath and snatch Scherzer and Turner both away from the Padres? Because for a while on Thursday, it sounded like, as you point out, that San Diego was the team that was going to land Mad Max.
Yeah, the Padres were engaged in discussions with the Nationals, no doubt. They were trying for Scherzer, but you know, I think a couple things. One, the Padres weren't alone. There were multiple teams really trying to get Scherzer. All three teams that are in front of the National League West, Padres, Dodgers, Giants, were all interested, among others. I think a few things. One, Scherzer had a no-trade clause, so he could kind of direct himself where he wanted to go once the offers came in. But secondly, you know, I mean, the Dodgers paid a big price in prospects. There's no doubt about that. Catcher Keibert Ruiz, you know, is on everybody's list of top young catchers in the game. They gave him and pitcher Josiah Gray to the Nationals along with a couple other prospects. And, you know, Nationals clearly are looking to identify young talent because, doggone, they traded, you know, Turner and Scherzer to the Dodgers. They traded Kyle Schwarber to the Boston Red Sox earlier in the day. And, you know, I mean, they're unloading. They're making some significant deals. And so, you know, Washington clearly has made a decision that, you know, they're not going to make one or two trades. They're going to make multiple deals to bring back multiple young players. And they like what the Dodgers offered. And, you know, Ruiz and Josiah Gray, among others.
From your experience, though, covering baseball for years and years, how disheartening is this for a fan base? And I know the Nationals just won a World Series in 19, but for heaven's sakes, it's the end of July, and all their big stars, it seems like, just got sent to other teams.
There's no question it's going to be disheartening for the Nationals. I mean, it's, you know, it's a little bit easier to take from the standpoint, as you mentioned, Amy, they won the World Series in 2019, so it seems like since they won, by the way, in 2019, the world's just gone upside down. I mean, the Nationals, you know, there's still kind of that afterglow in their fan base of winning the World Series. At least they've got all that World Series championship swag, the T-shirts and the caps that the fans are all wearing. But the flip side is they never really got to enjoy it because, you know, usually the next year after winning a World Series is kind of like a victory lap, right? It's just a party at the ballpark all year long. But right after they won it came COVID. And, you know, we all went to spring training in February of 2020. And the Astros cheating scandal was going on. I can still remember the Astros and Nationals share a place in spring training in West Palm Beach, Florida. I can still remember first week of spring training, 2020, the Nationals are the World Series champions, yet the national media, and I was among them, was across the complex over with the Astros because everybody was writing about the Astros cheating scandal. And then about a month, you know, even Mike Rizzo, the Nationals general manager, said, you know, he was disgusted. He said, geez, he said, we are the World Series champions, and yet we had like three writers in our camp today, and everybody's over at the Astros side. Then, like, a couple weeks later came COVID, and then, boom, nothing's been normal since. The Nationals only played 60 games, you know, Major Leagues only played 60 games last year. And now, as you mentioned, the Nationals are so low, you know, in the standings. And so, yeah, this whole thing has been, no question, I'm sure, disheartening for the fan base. But, you know, and the other thing we should mention is one of the reasons they pulled the plug on this season, Steven Strasburg, who was the MVP of that World Series, you know, he went down for the year just last week, earlier in the week, with thoracic outlet syndrome surgery. He's going to have that. So he's done. So, you know, they're well behind in the division. They lost Strasburg. They're taking on water. Scherzer's going to be a free agent. So they just pulled the plug, and it's tough for a fan base, but at least they've got the World Series.
No one can take that incredible run away from them. Scott Miller is a longtime National Baseball Insider and reporter and is also contributing to the New York Times baseball coverage this season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Can I ask specifically about Turner, though? If they're going young and they're looking for prospects and they want to rebuild, why not rebuild around this guy who's so dynamic, who's an all-star, and who's only 28 years old?
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good question. And I also think, by the way, Turner is one of the, to me, he's one of the more underrated players in the game, Amy, even though, as you mentioned, he's an all-star. But, man, this guy, he is one of the fastest players in the game. He can beat you with his wheels, his bat, his glove. Really, really solid. But, you know, clearly I think we can infer one thing, and that is that the Nationals were not confident they could re-sign him. He is under club control for one more year. Secondly, you know, they're going to end up with some, you know, I don't know, you know, finance wise, you know, what they project for their budget over the next 3, 4, 5, 6 years. But, you know, the one guy they did keep, of course, is Juan Soto, and they're going to have to unlock the Brinks truck to keep Juan Soto here in another couple of years. So, you know, whether that played into it or not, hard to say, but also to your point, Turner being under team control for one more year, that was the reason the Dodgers stepped in and really wanted him, because Corey Seager, who's missed the last 2 or 3 months with a broken hand in L.A., and he's finally due back, I think, this weekend, and they're expecting him back, probably activating him Friday night for their series opener in Arizona. But Corey Seager is a free agent this winter. Trey Turner is under club control for another year. So the Dodgers, you know, not only does Turner and Scherzer, does that package just make this a huge deal for the Dodgers, but Turner also gives them some insurance, because if Corey Seager walks via free agency this winter, you know, they've got Trey Turner shortstop next year.
Scott, the Dodgers, it feels like every single game is against the Giants in the last 2 weeks. I don't know how that worked out, but they have run into the Giants and really struggled with the Giants. And we know that, of course, they don't, at least this point, look like they're going to have Trevor Bauer back anytime soon. The clubhouse doesn't really want him to return. His leave has been extended. So I understand the Max Scherzer piece, but how much do you think the way they've kind of run into that brick wall that San Francisco led to them being aggressive at this trade deadline?
Oh, I think no question. They know the Padres are right there too. I mean, you know, the three-team race in the National League West is fascinating.
Yes.
And it looks like, you know, there are no guarantees, but it's about a 95% certainty that all three of those teams are going to be in the playoffs, because the way that even the wild card race is shaping up, as of right now, the Giants would win the division, Dodgers and Padres, are far enough ahead in a wild card race that it looks like other teams going to have trouble catching them. So you almost figure one of these three is going to win the division. The other two are going to be in the wild card race. So the Dodgers, I mean, this was a statement trade today. They, no question, made a statement. I think it's going to, you know, enhance their chances of winning the division. And to your point about the Giants, you're exactly right. I mean, they played the Giants seven times in the last 10 or so days, and the Giants have won five of the seven. When this latest batch of games started, the Dodgers were in second place in the National League West behind the Giants. They were one game back. After today, after the Giants won five of seven, Dodgers now are three games back of the Giants. So you're right. I mean, the Giants are staring them down every bit of the race so far, and led Andrew Friedman and his people to say, all right, you know what? We're in the fight of our lives this summer, and we need to make this statement. And they sure did with the trade on Thursday.
Before we look at some of the other deals, I have to ask about the Padres. It looks like they're going to end up with Daniel Hudson. But yep. As a team that's right now sitting third in the NL West, what's the reaction from them about not being able to land that big-name starter?
Well, I can tell you this. I think you know, I'm based in San Diego, and I will say that around town early Thursday when the rumor broke that the Padres were close to getting Scherzer, people around town were just bonkers. They were out of their minds excited. I think, as Thursday afternoon changed into Thursday night, that feeling around town became much more dampened. And I think same around the Padres. I mean, you know, A.J. Preller and his people are going to be working all through the night, Thursday night. You know, I doubt they're going to get any sleep because they know. I mean, between now and 4 o'clock Eastern Friday, it's also a race among the front offices, and they know the Padres have their best chance to win that they've had in a number of years, but they've got to come up with somebody. So, I mean, I think tonight they're hammering the Minnesota Twins with calls on Jose Barrios. You know, that's a starter that's out there that I think the Padres would love to try to acquire. Across the field this weekend, the Rockies just came to town for a four-game series. Rockies have John Gray, who's likely on the market. And he, in fact, starts in Petco against the Padres on Friday night. We'll see if he makes that start Friday night for the Rockies. He's a guy that could go to the Padres or somewhere else.
Scott Miller is with us here from San Diego after hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. What's your reaction to the Yankees being so aggressive at the deadline? It seemed like they might be buyers or they might be sellers. They're really struggling and are almost completely out of the race in the AL East.
Pretty interesting, isn't it? I mean, it's just a couple days ago that Brian Cashman was talking about how bad the team has been playing and that, you know, hinting that it might force him to be a seller. And they went the complete opposite direction. My goodness. I mean, Joey Gallo from Texas and, you know, one day, and then Anthony Rizzo from the Cubs the next. Gallo is going to add a bunch of strikeouts to that lineup, no doubt about it. And for my money, the Yankees already have way too many strikeouts in that lineup. They are such an all or nothing team. And, you know, I think they're way too one dimensional. I think that's been part of their issue this year, or a huge part of their issue. You know, Gallo is what he is. He's going to hit a lot of home runs. He's going to strike out a lot. He's high on base percentage guy. 38-39% of the time he's going to get on base. You know, Anthony Rizzo is a high on base percentage guy too. I think he'll help the Yankees to a degree. But, you know, whether Rizzo and Gallo can compensate for the lack of pitching that the Yankees have had this year, and whether he can compensate for the one-dimensional attack, we'll see. I mean, you have to really like Boston and Tampa Bay. So there's certainly attention-getting moves for the Yankees, but I'm not sure they're enough to put them over the top.
What happens if they don't make the playoffs?
You know, that's a good question. I mean, Hal Steinbrenner and the ownership group certainly seem committed to Brian Cashman and GM, and everybody in the baseball operations department has remained, say they are committed to manager Aaron Boone. But yeah, if they don't make the playoffs, I mean, you know, the manager always feels the heat. And the fact that the Yankees made these trades for Gallo and Rizzo, I mean, that increases the pressure, certainly, because it's clear that the Yankees still believe in this team. So if they don't get to the playoffs, especially after going for it in July, you know, it'll be really interesting to see what happens this winter. But I do think Aaron Boone's job could be in jeopardy at that point.
Scott Miller with us after hours here on CBS Sports Radio, and part of his baseball gig this year is contributing to the New York Times. Wanted to ask about Terry Francona, the Indians manager. I know he's so beloved in baseball circles and has announced that he's got some health issues that he has to address, and so he's not going to be with the Indians for the rest of the way. What do you know and what have you heard about his announcement?
Yeah, he's everybody at baseball loves Terry Francona. And I've talked to a number of people around the game today since that announcement came out that basically have said a couple of things. One, there's a lot of people around baseball very concerned with Francona. And then after that, DeMarlo Hale, who's going to be the interim manager the rest of the year, he's beloved in baseball as well. There's a lot of people rooting hard for him. Where Francona's concerned, he had a hip replacement surgery a few years back. He's going to have another one. He's been in a lot of pain this year. Basically, Amy, he needs a hip replacement surgery.
Oh.
And then after that, he's going to have a rod put in one of his feet based on he had a staph infection a few years ago, and that did some damage. And so he's been in a walking boot this year on that foot, and they can't do the rod in the foot until after the hip replacement. Once that rod gets put in his foot, he then can't bear any weight on that foot for a couple of months. So this is a process. First the hip replacement, then when that heals, the rod in the foot, then no weight bearing for a couple months. So I think the hope is from Francona and Cleveland's side that if they do this now, maybe finally he'll be in better shape and can manage beginning next spring again. But I think at this point, with him being 61, and he will have had both hips replaced and both knees replaced, not to mention the staph infection and the damage that did to his foot.
Gosh.
So I don't think there are any guarantees he'll come back. I sure know a lot of people around the game, including myself, love Francona. He's an old school baseball guy. He's a character, and everybody wishes him the best and hopes he is going to come back. But right now, he's taking care of his health, and then we'll see what happens after that.
He will be missed, but lots of support around baseball. Well, yep. Friday should be full of fireworks if Thursday is any indication, Scott. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no doubt about it. Yeah, I mean, there's still, there's still some shoppers out there. As I say, the Twins are trying to sell. The Padres and Giants want pitching. The Blue Jays want another arm. They've watched what the Yankees and Rays and Red Sox have done. A lot of pressure on the Blue Jays to try to keep pace. You know, a lot of general managers aren't going to be sleeping tonight, as I know, judging by the hour, nor are you and I, as we continue to work through the night and chase these trade rumors.
You can find Scott on Twitter at ScottMillerBBL. He's been covering Major League Baseball for years and years on the national level and is giving us the lowdown from Southern California up to the minute. Scott, it's always great to catch up with you. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
You got it, Amy. My pleasure. Take care. Always fun talking baseball with you, my friend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!